Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. It's time to head inside Hong Kong with Straits Times correspondent Claire Huang. Now, Hong Kong reported fewer than 100 local COVID-19 cases for a third day straight yesterday, as the city's worst outbreak shows signs of abating under tightened restrictions. Claire, how's it going? What's the latest? Have the measures started to help things to improve?
Hi, Rachel. Well, it's still early days yet. And actually, I would use this analogy to describe what's happening in Hong Kong right now, which is we're having little fires everywhere. So even though numbers have come down from three digits to hover around 80, you know, for the past 3 days this week, and the death toll has crept up more than 40 already, some places are less crowded here, but wet markets have turned into sort of like a COVID hotspot. They have, led health experts, have worried health experts, and they've named two wet markets in Kowloon District as clusters. So now the authorities, health experts are now urging wet markets to not use cash. Actually, health experts are urging wet markets to not use cash, but other forms of payment. And on the hospital front, you know, we've got individual public hospitals saying they've detected either patients who got the virus or staff who got the virus. So there are growing concerns that public hospitals have possible cross-infection. And then you have another fire, and this comes in the form of domestic helpers. And this one is the one that health experts and authorities are kind of desperate and kind of worried about, because authorities are now on the hunt for at least 28 foreign domestic helpers and their employers after it was found out that an Indonesian helper who had tested positive for COVID-19. Now, this helper had stayed in a Wan Chai and a Causeway Bay boarding house with other workers, other helpers, right? And those other helpers are not identified. Authorities are trying to find them. And those helpers have moved in with their employers. So you see how if those helpers actually get it, it's quite a spread. And an infectious disease expert has the government to conduct mass testing for the coronavirus on thousands of foreign domestic helpers staying in these boarding houses in the city. Now, he is Dr. Ho Pak Leong from the University of Hong Kong, this infectious disease expert. He's saying that the government should conduct mass testing of 7,000 helpers who live in hundreds of boarding houses in the city. He's saying that the authorities should not underestimate the risk of having clusters of infections at crowded dormitories. And obviously, that is when he refers to Singapore's COVID-19 outbreak in the foreign worker population. Now, it's a vicious cycle, right? The reason we've got thousands staying in these dormitories is because the government has imposed work-from-home arrangements, which then led to delays in visa processing. So while their visas are being processed, these helpers are staying in boarding houses. So that's why they're there.
Now, speaking of mass testing, Claire, there's also been news that China's offering assistance aimed to help boost Hong Kong's COVID-19 testing capacity to at least or as many as 200,000 samples daily, which is 20 times its current ability. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, Rachel, there were reports that Beijing wants the mainland team to test every single person in Hong Kong for the virus, right? And this is not something that we've not heard before. I think previously one of the top mainland experts, health experts, had said that, you know, mandatory testing for everybody should be done in Hong Kong. So what this team of seven people from the mainland have arrived in Hong Kong, and they are expected to have a better understanding of the daily operations of the three mainland-based private laboratories in Hong Kong, and before deciding what to do next. And of course, there are some issues here to be sorted out, some differences in mainland Hong Kong legal systems, which could throw a spanner in the works. And, Hong Kong experts have spoken. They believe that focusing resources on high-risk groups is the way to go, because testing widespread, as what the mainland team hopes to achieve, will require a lockdown. And it will require massive manpower to collect the samples to be tested and to process them in a week. The labs here are currently stretched, right? So they're working around the clock. And also, talking about the current high-risk group testing, they're going to do that for about 500,000 people, and it includes residential care homes for the elderly, residential care homes for persons with disabilities, nursing homes, staff of special schools, public transport, drivers, restaurant staff, market tenants, workers, as well as frontline staff of the property management sector, because these people come into contact with a lot of people on a daily basis. So these are the high-risk groups that the government is conducting tests.
You're listening to Prime Time, and this is Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang. Now, Claire, this move has also been met with some controversy, hasn't it?
How the collecting people's DNA to identify them for controversy. the government has dismissed this as a rumor, okay, because there were reports that, the mainland team is in Hong Kong to collect people's DNA, and the government has rubbished it. Of course, the government has also issued a strong statement, and accused opposition politicians of harassing the seven-member mainland team to help with, COVID-19 testing in Hong Kong. In a statement issued yesterday, it said that a group of district councillors, including New Democrats, had tried to smear and damage the support provided by the central government. And they're saying that because some of those district councillors have said that there's no need for the mainland team because Hong Kong's medical industry is advanced enough for it to cope on its own. And then there are other remarks about how the decision to have the mainland team come over to help has threatened residents' rights and privacy. And they wondered if it was politically motivated. Now, the chairman of the Association of Medical Laboratories has said that mainland experts tasked with helping Hong Kong to ramp up its testing abilities should have their qualifications checked and registered as per local regulations. So we've got all these issues in between.
Moving away from COVID-19, though, and to the government's decision to postpone an election for the city's legislature by a year, now the Bar Association had said that this could be unlawful. What's the latest?
The Bar Association's point was that the move to invite the central government to override the relevant provisions under the Basic Law and Hong Kong legislation to circumvent possible legal challenges is essentially degrading the rule of law in Hong Kong. But I've spoken with Professor Albert Chen, who's also a Basic Law Committee member, and he said that the move is reasonable. He's a legal scholar, by the way. And he said that the suggestion by Chief Executive Carrie Lam for the existing cabinet to continue in the interim for that 1 year has some legitimacy. But then now you've got some people, you've got a division within Mrs. Lam's circle, because some of them are saying that Beijing should appoint who it wants in the interim LegCo, while others are saying, no, Hong Kong should be left alone to choose who it wants.
So that said, Claire, in your report out this week, you shared that any legal challenge against the move to delay the polls to elect a new parliament in the city would likely be unsuccessful. So what next?
So Professor Albert Chen has said that it's unlikely that the courts will overturn the emergency law to postpone the election. China's top lawmaking body will be meeting from Saturday for 4 days. And it is now up to the National People's Congress Standing Committee to either issue a decision on the delay or the postponement, or an interpretation of the Basic Law or the city's mini constitution to confirm that the election can be postponed. What we also need to look out for is, as Professor Alfred Wu of the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy pointed out, are changes to the electoral process that would have quite an impact. Why do I say so? Because he's of the view that Beijing will not allow disqualified lawmakers back to LegCo. Why is this important? It's the one-third rule. The opposition camp can veto policies now, but if the four current opposition lawmakers who were recently banned from running in the original 2020 LegCo election are not allowed back in the interim, then the pro-establishment camp, already in the majority, can pass policies easily. So this includes funding for the Lam Tau Tomorrow Vision, basically huge land reclamation exercise that was announced by Mrs. Lam previously to build houses for people. And another possible target that was mentioned is filibustering. This is this can be done currently in LegCo, and it was a reason why the House Committee had no chairman for more than half a year. So moving forward, we can expect lasting changes and filibustering could be banned.
Well, Claire, thank you as always for all your updates.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Claire Huang, and this has been Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.